This is my personal account of an incident that occurred in Alaska back in 2019. I haven't spoken of this incident to anyone but my therapist and my best friend. Despite many sessions, and even attempts of exposure therapy, which I will explain later, this event still haunts me. Maybe if I post this here, I can gain some semblance of peace. So, like I said, it was 2019. I was 25 at the time. I'd been saving up money for some backcountry camping up in Alaska. I live on the East Coast, and while my job was paying all right, I was taking up some under-the-table jobs. House painting, house sitting, pet sitting, you know, what you have to help me out financially for the trip. I also had a friend set me up with their uncle, who was a bush pilot, to handle getting me to and from my camping location. This was my first and biggest mistake. Now, I had very little experience with camping outside of the occasional weekend camping at state parks, and I did some camping excursions, nothing super challenging, when I was in the Boy Scouts. But my friend's uncle, Mark, knew some good spots that were remote to an extent, but easy to get to in case of an emergency, by bush plane standards, that is. So yeah, no trekking to the nearest highway or road, unless I wanted to walk for a day or so through the rugged terrain. My parents helped me out with getting me some emergency supplies. Food, hydration packs, first aid kits, bear spray, etc. Mark loaned me a spare rifle of his, in case that I would need it. Even though I was a non-resident, I could still carry a firearm under the state law. I've hunted before when I was a teen, so I had experience in that regard. Plus, I didn't have to worry about the hassle of transporting a firearm and dealing with airport regulations. Mark also hooked me up with a satellite phone as well, so my cell phone was going to be nothing more than a camera. I didn't have the money for a good camera for photography or anything, so I had to make do. The plan was to be dropped off at where I was camping, camp out for 5 days, and be picked up on day 6. I didn't want to use up all my 2 weeks of my PTO at work, so I kept the trip condensed. Because this was my first time out, Mark helped me pick out a site based on his recommendations. The spot he chose wasn't one he went to often, as he typically flew in hunters and anglers who typically were going to areas with more rugged terrain. It was relatively flat, not a lot of dense forests, maybe some patches here and there further in, and my campsite was going to be set up near a small lake with a good view of some of the mountains in the distance. Now, I'm sure a whole lot of people would like to know where I was specifically, but Mark no longer takes people to that location, regardless of their experience or not, and he no longer does fly-ins for anyone who isn't a hunter. It hurt his business a bit because fishing is so popular in Alaska, but he ended up retiring altogether due to COVID the following year. As for why I won't mention the location, as far as I'm aware, the location didn't have a name on any official map, and if Mark had ever flown near that area, it's just a tiny blip during a scenic sightseeing trip. The other reason was because of what I had experienced on that trip. What I saw, I wish I could get out of my head, out of my dreams. After Mark dropped me off and helped me unload my gear, I spent most of my first day setting up camp. Not far from the lake, a good 85 yards or so, or a little over 77 meters, I found a nice and remarkably dry dead log that had some good-sized branches, so that would be my main supply of firewood. A short walk away, there was a small grove of trees inland from the lake that I set up as my food storage location. Mark said bears were not uncommon in this area, though not necessarily the best place to see some, but it was still advised to keep food hanging from a tree, out of reach from any potential bears. The lake had a rather unique shape to it, which made it easy for me to set up a good spot for a cooking area. For those unfamiliar, the campsite, food storage, and kitchen area should form a triangle, which some people refer to as a Bermuda Triangle. Day 2 and 3 were not entirely uneventful for the most part. Day 2, I was eating lunch at my campsite while watching a bull moose dive into the lake to eat the plants at the bottom. Day 3, I did some hiking, found a small hill with only a couple of trees on top, and I decided to sit down and observe a herd of elk grazing for a long while. Exploring around the lake, I found a small rusted boat buried under some branches. It was in rough shape, but it could still float on the water. So I dragged it back with me to camp and put it near the lake shore. Figured I could go out to the lake and take some really good photos from it. Day 4 is when things started to get weird. It got unnaturally quiet that morning. The birds were not singing, and the only sounds were from the lake and the bugs. Despite making sure I packed mosquito repellent, the bugs were a big nuisance if I was near the lake. I hesitated to travel away from my tent outside of walking to the lake. I tried not to let the silence bother me, and I occupied my time with reading inside my tent. As the sun dipped down and darkness began to creep in, I was starting to feel uneasy, like a primal kind of fear. I decided I was going to make my campfire a bit bigger than I normally would have made it, enough that the light shone further away. As I turned in for the night, I made sure that my bear spray and the rifle were within reach inside my tent. But I had trouble sleeping. The silence was unnerving. I was fighting myself not to toss and turn, because I was too afraid of the noise attracting something that I didn't want to encounter alone at night. Just as I was about to close my eyes, I heard a branch snap. That woke me up faster than a bucket of ice water, and I immediately froze. I could hear something coming into my campsite. I reached for the bear spray and held it tightly to my chest. I slowly, as humanly possible, I turned over and saw the shadow of an animal on the walk of my tent, illuminated by the glow of the moonlight. The animal was big, about the size of a trophy brown bear, but the silhouette looked off. I just figured it was some sort of distortion from the angle that I was looking at. But the noises it made, it was not like that of a bear. It made huffing noises like a bear, but the sound wasn't exactly the same. I could tell it was starting to approach my tent, so I had the thumb ready on the safety catch of the spray. Suddenly, the creature tore through the tent like tissue paper and grabbed my sleeping bag in its jaws. The strength of the animal caused me to nearly hit my head off the ground, and for a brief moment, I caught a look at the animal's face. The animal's head looked similar to a bear's, but there was something uncanny about it, uncanny in a way that I cannot entirely articulate. It wasn't malformed or anything, it just looked off. As the animal dragged me out of the tent, I popped off the safety catch and sprayed it in the face. The animal reeled back, groaning in pain. It was a horrendous noise, not like anything I had ever heard. I heard it run off into the thick brush, and as I went to head for the remains of my tent, I could hear this crashing and cracking noise from the animal. I was too scared that it was going to come back, so I ran for the boat. As I was pushing the boat into the water, I turned back, and from the fading glow of the campfire, I saw the animal begin the charge. I wasted no time in getting on the boat into the water, and I began to paddle as quickly as I could. I knew that the creature would be faster, but I was praying that I got far enough away from shore that it wouldn't attempt to chase me. The creature didn't stop at the lakeshore, and it made its way through the water, at least up to its chest, and stopped. I could faintly see it from the moonlight, and then it ran for my tent. While I couldn't see it all that well, I could tell from the horrendous noise that the animal was thrashing about my campsite supplies. I hoped to God that the rifle and satellite phone were intact. I curled up into the boat and tried my best to sleep, but I was drenched up to my waist and I was shivering like crazy. After a good 15 minutes, the noises from my campsite died down and everything became still again. I never slept through the night, but occasionally would paddle the boat to make sure it didn't float off towards shore during the night. When morning approached, I was still too afraid to go back to my campsite. I waited until around noon when my stomach began to protest. I picked up the paddle and slowly, as in quietly as possible, paddled back to my campsite. As I reached the shore, I still waited for several minutes just to make sure I didn't hear the creature approach. I slowly walked back to what remained of my campsite. The tent was nothing more than snapped poles and tattered fabric, and what was left of my sleeping bag was unrecognizable as belonging to a sleeping bag. Unfortunately, Mark's rifle had a busted stock, and the wooden forearm had a big crack down it. My backpack had been torn apart, and clothing and gear were scattered all around. I found my binoculars laying in the fire pit, luckily, and it looked like the fire had gone out before they landed in it, as there was no scorch marks on them. One of the lenses was cracked, but it was still usable. I scoped out the food cache area, only to find my food cache missing, and some busted branches around the trees. I quickly grabbed a small pack that was missing a strap, and quickly stuffed some clothing into it and the binoculars. I searched around the campsite for anything else of use. The satellite phone was still in its pouch and what was left of the larger backpack, so I grabbed that and a couple of emergency flares. I would pause every few minutes just to make sure the creature from last night didn't show up. My bear spray can laid over by the dead log as I went over to grab it. That's when I heard a low growl coming from the thicket. I froze. If I had been wearing a t-shirt at the time, I would have seen the goosebumps that covered my arms. I slowly began backing away from my campsite back to the rusted boat, and that is when it emerged from the brush. It had the appearance of a bear, like how you would probably envision a bear in your dreams. It had an uncanniness to its appearance that I am unable to describe. My mind was trying to make sense of what I was seeing, and part of me was, and still is, wondering if the sleepless night was messing with my vision. My legs were beginning to shake, and tears were streaming down my face as it watched me. I was terrified of what it might do next. The animal lumbered towards me, and I tossed a lit flare at it in hopes it would scare the creature off. It backed off momentarily. I took the opportunity to run for the boat. Bad idea when dealing with a predator, I know, but I managed to get to the boat back towards the deeper water as it stopped at the chest level water like the night before. The animal watched me, its eyes burning with an intense fury that I had never seen in any animal before. It ran back to shore and turned and began swiping at the ground with its paws. When I saw the claws, I dreaded to think what injuries they would be capable of inflicting on me. I reached down to grab the paddle, only to find it gone. I looked up to see it lying on the pebbly surface of the shoreline. I began to cry. I was typically not an emotional person at the time, but here I could do nothing but bawl my eyes out. I was absolutely terrified. I looked around, and I saw what appeared to be a branch from a dead tree jutting out from the water not too far from shore, but seemingly far enough away that the animal could not reach me unless it was very determined. I used my hands to clumsily steer the boat towards it. I could see the creature lumbering along the shoreline, following me. I screamed at it to go away, but the animal was unfazed by my shouts and screams. When I reached the branch, I looked up and saw that the animal was gone. I looked around the shoreline. It wasn't terribly far from where my campsite had been, and I didn't see any trace of the creature. I accidentally kicked my foot back and heard a thud. I froze, and again, I heard the crashing and snapping of branches in the thicket. I pushed the boat away from the log and back towards the deeper water. The creature again appeared on the shoreline and let out a horrendous sounding roar. I never heard an animal sound like that before. It was such an awful roar that I flinched in fear. I bent over and clamped my hands around my ears. I was doing everything to keep the image and sound of that animal out of my head. It was cold, wet, and alone in the Alaskan wilderness, and I was being terrorized by something that was an indescribable approximation of a bear. I heard my foot thud again, and I felt around, at first thinking it was part of the boat. I felt a handle, and out of the corner of my seat was a metal box with a padlock on it. It wasn't even locked. I carefully took off the padlock and opened the box, and inside was a vintage camping shovel. Looked to be military surplus. It wasn't perfect, but the closest alternative to a paddle. I slowly began heading down the lake towards a river. I looked over my shoulder and the creature was continuing to follow me. I'd never seen an animal this intent before. My mind was racing through so many thoughts. Was it an animal? A monster? I reached into my pack and pulled out the satellite phone. Battery still had enough juice, and I immediately called Mark, and despite my sobbing voice and him trying to calm me down, he said he would get me out of there as soon as he could and told me to keep an eye on the creature. Mark believed I was being stalked by a bear. Once again, the sun began to dip down and I was enveloped in darkness as clouds started to block out the moon. Somehow I was able to fall asleep, woke up once in the middle of the night, thinking that the animal had gotten me, but after an excruciatingly long period of silence, waved it off as a fish. When dawn came, I found my boat starting to drift toward shore. I looked around, didn't see a sign of the animal. I gathered my remaining belongings and after looking for landmarks that Mark advised me on, trekked to where he was going to meet me at. That was the scariest 3 hours of my life. All I could think of was that animal stalking me. I completely forgot to even be aware of other animals like moose. As I crested the hilltop, I could see Mark's plane in a flat meadow, and I just booked it for the plane as fast as I was able to. Mark rushed over and helped with my belongings, a rifle slung over his shoulder. Once again, I heard the familiar crashing sound of something in the brush near the hill I was on, and Mark readied his rifle as I got into the plane. We both saw the animal rear up on its hind legs and roar at us. Again, the way it was postured was so different from how a bear stands up. Mark quickly hopped in the plane just as the animal charged. However, Mark was able to get his plane airborne long before the animal could reach us, and I only caught one last glimpse of it before it fled back into the brush. I asked Mark what was wrong with that bear, and he just replied, his voice shaking, something I had never seen this 61-year-old man do in all the time I had known him. I don't know what that was, but that wasn't a frickin' bear. After we had reached civilization, Mark swore he would never bring anyone to that area again, and I would be his first and last camper flight. I think we both regret the inexperience. Alaska Fish and Game were notified of the situation, but when they investigated the scene, they found only the remains of the campsite and some of my gear. They did recover some of the items that were still usable, but unfortunately, due to heavy rainstorms the few days after the incident, they could not find the footprints, or even fur, for the creature. Officially, it was logged as a bear incident. And with Mark explaining that the region wasn't particularly a prime area for excursions, Fish and Game decided there was no need to look into it further. Mark and I are the only ones who had seen this creature, and unfortunately, neither of us were able to describe the animal to Fish and Wildlife, because both of us would break down into tears before we could get further enough into the description. When I came back to the continental US, I went through a few years of therapy. Mostly video calls due to COVID, but after things started opening back up, my therapist was taking me to zoos to see bears for exposure therapy, but it was fruitless. People thought I just had a scary encounter with a big brown bear, but I know better. There's something up there in Alaska. I don't know what it is, but I pray to God every day that someone else doesn't have a run-in with it. It was a crisp autumn evening when my friends and I decided to go camping in the remote woods for the weekend. We were all excited to escape the city and immerse ourselves in the tranquility of nature. By the time we had arrived, night had already fallen, so we hurriedly set up our tents and lit a fire, the flickering flames casting long, dancing shadows around our campsite. As we sat around the fire, we began telling ghost stories, each one more chilling than the last. The crackling of the fire and the eerie shadows it created added to the spooky atmosphere. The air was thick with a sense of foreboding, and even the simplest of sounds seemed amplified in the stillness of the night. We roasted hot dogs for dinner, but the taste was overshadowed by the spine-tingling tales we shared. Around midnight, we decided to put out the fire and get ready to turn in for the night, eager to wake up early for a hike the next morning. Just as we were about to retreat to our separate tents, we heard a rustling noise coming from the bushes. "Did you hear that?" Henson asked, his voice tinged with unease. "Yeah, I did," I replied, my heart beginning to race.
"Rabbit?"
Bruce retorted dismissively as he walked back to his tent. Henson and I stood there for a moment, scanning the trees but saw nothing. Reluctantly, we turned and started walking back towards our tents. Suddenly, a low, guttural growl echoed from the forest, making every hair on my body stand on end. I spun around, but still saw nothing. That's when Bruce turned his flashlight on, and there, in the beam of the light, I saw them. A pair of glowing eyes, staring back at us from the bushes, unblinking and menacing. My heart pounded as we heard the creature emerge from the shadows.
"I'm grabbing my rifle,"
Bruce shouted as he ran towards his tent. But the creature let out a howl so deafening that it brought us all to our knees, wincing in pain. The sound seemed to pierce through the very fabric of the night, leaving an eerie silence in its wake. I slowly looked up, bracing myself to face the beast that I was certain would attack and kill us. It resembled a wolf, a gray wolf, but it was massive and stood on its hind legs. The creature was no shorter than 8 feet tall. I could see its huge fangs with saliva glistening in the moonlight, dripping onto the ground. Its eyes burned with a feral intensity, and its fur bristled as it growled, sending shivers down my spine. The creature took a step closer, and that's when Bruce fired. He fired again and again, but then there was silence. I opened my eyes to see the creature still standing there unscathed. It let out another bone-chilling howl before sprinting in our direction with terrifying speed. My friends and I aren't dumb. We took off running towards our trucks. My heart raced with fear as we ran, the creature's footsteps pounding the ground behind us, growing louder with each passing second. I could hear its breath, ragged and menacing, as it closed in on us. The pounding of my heart reverberated throughout my ears, almost drowning out the sounds of our frantic escape. I glanced back and saw it gaining on us with tremendous intensity. Its eyes glowed with malevolent hatred as it clawed its way towards us. In my panic, I stumbled and tripped over a tree root. Henson quickly turned to help me up, and just as I could run again, I felt an intense burning sensation across my back. I cried out in agony but didn't dare stop running, the creature's growls echoing in the darkness behind us. We finally reached our trucks. I fumbled with my keys, my hands uncontrollably shaking. I managed to get inside, slamming the door shut and locking it just as the creature lunged at my truck. It pounded on the roof with such force that the entire vehicle shook, its growls and screams echoing through the night, sending chills down my spine. Then it jumped on the hood of my car, its eyes glowing with a sinister light. It started beating on my windshield, each blow causing cracks to spiderweb across the glass. I screamed as the creature's claws tore through the windshield, shards of glass flying everywhere. In a desperate move, I quickly unlocked my door and leapt out into the bed of Bruce's truck as he was pulling out. Bruce and Henson both sped away as fast as they could, tires screeching against the dirt. I stared in horror as the creature just stood there, still perched on the hood of my truck, its eyes locked onto mine. To this day, we don't know what that creature was. I know what I believe it is. We all agree on one thing. We'll never go camping in those woods again. The memory of that night still haunts me, and I can't shake the feeling that the creature is still out there, lurking in the shadows, waiting for its next unsuspecting victims. A few weeks later, I couldn't get the experience out of my mind, so I decided to do some research. I found old legends and folklore about the area, speaking of a beast that roamed the woods, a creature that was neither man nor animal. Locals called it the Wendigo, a spirit of the wilderness that preyed on those who ventured too deep into its territory. The stories described it as a cursed being transformed by its insatiable hunger and thirst for blood. I shared my findings with my friends, and we all felt a shiver run down our spines. The descriptions matched what we had seen that night, down to the last horrifying detail. We realized how close we had come to becoming another story in the local folklore, another set of names whispered around a campfire. The thought of that creature still lurking in the woods, waiting for its next prey, was too much to bear. We made a pact never to speak of that night again, hoping that by staying silent, we could somehow escape its grasp. The silence was our shield, a fragile barrier against the territory that stalked the shadows. But every now and then, when the wind howls through the trees, I can't help but remember those glowing eyes and the terror we felt. The Wendigo is still out there, somewhere in the dark, waiting. And sometimes, late at night, I wonder if it remembers us too. The thought sends a chill down my spine, making me question whether silence is enough to keep the darkness at bay.